भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमः 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो सेवन चैप्टर शेड्यूल्ड इनकार्नेशंस टेक्स्ट 48 शघ्रन् नियम्य यतयो यम कर्ता हेतिम् जयहु स्वराद् इव निपान खनित्रम् इन्द्रः सघ्रन्यम्य यतयो यमकर्ता हेतुम् जयहु स्वरादिव निपान खनित्रम् इन्द्रः सघ्रं नियम्य यतयो यमकर्त हेतिं जयहु सरादिव निपन खनित्रमिन्द्र शघ्रन्यम्य यतयो यमकर्त हेतिम् जयहु स्वरादिव निपन खनित्रमिन्द्र सद्रक आर्टिफिशियल मेंटल स्पेकुलेशन और मेडिटेशन नियम्य कंट्रोलिंग यतया द मिस्टिक्स जमकर्त हेतिम द प्रोसेस ऑफ स्पिरिचुअल कल्चर जयहु आर गिवन अप स्वराट फुल्ली इंडिपेंडेंट इवा एज निपाना वेल खनित्रम ट्रबल फॉर डिगिंग इंद्रह द कंट्रोलिंग डेमिगॉड सप्लाइंग रेन्स पर ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद इन सच ए ट्रांसेंडेंटल स्टेट देर इज नो नीड ऑफ आर्टिफिशियल कंट्रोल ऑफ द माइंड मेंटल स्पेकुलेशन or meditation as performed by the gyanis and yogis. One gives up such processes as the heavenly king Indra forgoes the trouble to dig a well. Not much. Okay. Please repeat after me. In such a transcendental state,
there is no need
of artificial control of the mind,
mental speculation,
or meditation. as performed by the gyanis and yogis. One gives up such processes as the heavenly king Indra forgoes the trouble to dig a well. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A poor man in want of water digs a well and undertakes the trouble of digging. Similarly, those who are poor in transcendental realization speculate on the mind or meditate by controlling the senses. But they do not know that such control of senses and achievement of spiritual perfection are simultaneously made possible as soon as one is factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Person, the Personality of Godhead. It is for this reason that the great liberated souls also desire to be associated in hearing and chanting the activities of the Lord. The example of Indra is very appropriate in this connection. King Indra of heaven is the controlling deity or demigod for arranging clouds and supplying rains in the universe. And as such, he does not have to take the trouble to dig a well for his personal water supply. For him, digging a well for a water supply is simply ludicrous. Similarly, those who are factually engaged in the loving service of the Lord have attained the ultimate goal of life. And for them, there is no need of mental speculation to find out the true nature of God or His activities. Nor do such devotees have to meditate upon the imaginary or real identity of the Lord. Because they are factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, the Lord's pure devotees have already achieved the results of mental speculation and meditation. The real perfection of life is therefore to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padukamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpa Tarubhashta Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Sagraṁ niyamayatayo yamakarta hetiṁ jaihu sarādiva nipana khanitra mindra. In such a transcendental state, there is no need of artificial control of the mind, mental speculation or meditation as performed by the jnanis and yogis. One gives up such processes as the heavenly king Indra forgoes the trouble to dig a well. So, now after describing different incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then describing how He is the Supreme. He is the, Prabhupada used the expression in the purport, Samam Bonam. Samam Bonam, the word Samam Bonam means, in simple words we can say, the ultimate cause of everything. Samam Bonam actually means the ultimate thing upon which all the other principles and other aspects depend. Now if we consider that, who is the ultimate, who is the ultimate absolute, who is the supreme, and who is the supreme cause of all causes, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then it has been, do you all remember yesterday's verse and the purport? Then Prabhupada pointed out that that supreme is perceived in three different aspects, in three different features. Those three features are Brahma Jyoti, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. And Prabhupada also pointed out that this personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is achievable or is perceived in three different ways, or in as perceived in three different ways according to the approach and understanding of the individual. When you look at the Lord without or in simple words we can say, when you look at the Lord being situated on the material platform and trying to perceive Him through the material means, will lead us to the Brahman realization, jnana. Through the process of yoga, when one internalizes ourselves, the process of jnana is going externally, trying to analyze, trying to find the absolute through analyzing everything. The process of jnana is neti neti, not this, not this. Is this the absolute? Yes, of course, this is the absolute. Srimad Bhagavatam is the absolute. But is this absolute? Is this absolute? No. This absolute? This world? No. And in this way, by searching, when you just try to figure out what the absolute is, then ultimately what will happen? Ultimately, we'll go out of this material nature. If you're fortunate. If we can penetrate. First of all, if we can swim across the ocean of material nature, it's practically impossible. It's impossible to swim across the material nature. But even if somebody can do that, then also he'll have to face the hurdle of the walls of this material nature, the seven layers of the material nature. You can say they can be compared to a wall, the seven walls. You, after a lot of trouble, you swim across the material nature. Then what you'll come across? Even after swimming across the material nature, you'll confront an endless wall. And not one wall, the seven walls that you have to cross. So even if somebody can get out of that coverings of the material nature, seven layers of the material nature, then what he'll see? He'll see the Brahma Jyoti. But perceiving the Brahma Jyoti is something like a person who has been in a dark room for many, many years. All of a sudden he's exposed to the sun. What will happen? What will happen? He'll become blind. So that is what happens when somebody tries to get out of this material nature and pursue the Brahma Jyoti. So an intelligent person will consider, well, after all this trouble, I have come to a dead end of becoming blind. I've come to a dead end. There's no further that I can go to. So then what will he happen? What will he do? Of course, let me remind you that these are just some theoretical consideration. This is not real. The practical consideration will be, one, in order to make spiritual advancement, we'll need a spiritual guide. It is the guide that he'll have to lead him. So that guide will tell him that, look, you have come to this dead end and there is no, and you can see that you can't go any further. So what should you do now? You should go the other direction. What's the other direction? You have been going in the external direction. Now what you have to do? You have to go to the internal direction. And what is that internal direction? The internal direction is the process of yoga. The external direction is the process of jnana. The internal direction is the process of yoga. And through this process of Ashtanga yoga, through this process of internalizing himself, if one is fortunate enough to achieve perfection, then what will happen? What is the perfection of yoga? The perfection of yoga is the perception of the super soul in the heart. Paramatma realization. Perception of the Paramatma. So when one perceives the Paramatma, the supreme soul, and recognizes in the light of that Paramatma, recognizes himself as a minute soul, Jivatma, a very, very minute individual. Was the size of the Jivatma? Was the size of Jivatma? 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. So how big are you? You consider that you are so big, you are so great. Huh? How big? That is your size. No one can even see you. 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. Even with the most powerful microscope, we won't be able to see it. So in one hand, we recognize that we are so tiny, we are so small, and the Lord is super soul, the supreme soul, the origin of all souls, the transcendental reservoir of all souls, the transcendental source of all souls. So when we recognize that we are so small and he's so big, then what happens? What will be the natural reaction?
Surrender.
When a small person comes across a great person, he just offers himself to him. Bends his head down in submission. And that surrender is the beginning of bhakti. Beginning of bhakti, how does bhakti begin? Bhakti begins with sharanagati, surrender. সরঙ্গ শরণাগতি হইবে যাহার, তাহার প্রার্থনা শুনে শ্রীনন্দ কুমার। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু জীবে দয়া করি, সপার্ষদ স্বীয় ধাম সহ অবতরি, অত্যন্ত দুর্লভ প্রেম করিবারে দান, অত্যন্ত দুর্লভ প্রেম করিবারে দান, শিখায় শরণাগতি ভকতের প্রাণ। ইন অর্ডার টু অফার দ্য ভেরি ভেরি রেয়ার কৃষ্ণ প্রেম, উইচ ইজ দ্য আলটিমেট গোল অফ ভক্তি। In order to give him, in order to distribute, in order to offer that ultimate achievement of bhakti, Krishna Prem, he is teaching Shikhai Sharanagati, which is the life and soul of bhakti, Bhakatero Pran. So in this way we can see that all these are different phases of development. So when one surrenders, comes to the point of devotion and surrenders unto the Lord through devotion, he begins to make spiritual advancement. Then only he begins to make spiritual advancement, and ultimately when he achieves his perfection, he sees the Lord face to face as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Samam Bonam, who is the ultimate, who is the ultimate absolute, according to whom every principles or every thing is established. It's all because of him. Therefore, he has been pointed out the Vedaischa Sarvai Ahameva Vidya. The ultimate goal of the Vedas is he, Krishna. So, in this way, it has been pointed out very systematically in this chapter that how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be perceived in three different aspects: Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But out of these three, although he is the same personality, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Bhagavan. And surrender unto him is the ultimate goal of life. And when we surrender unto him, we make spiritual advancement. And as a result of that spiritual practice, when we achieve perfection, we find ourselves in his association in the spiritual sky. And that is the process that has been given in the Vedas, in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of all the Vedas. So this particular verse is actually pointing out that in such a transcendental state, what is that transcendental state? In such a transcendental state. What is that transcendental state? Who can reply? Who can answer? Yes? Okay, Sitanath? In such a transcendental state. Okay, you? In such a transcendental state. Yes, not bhakti yoga. In such a transcendental state means in that state of pure devotional service. In that state of pure devotional service, there is no need of artificial control of the mind. What is the artificial control of the mind? What is the process of artificial control of the mind? Who will answer the question? Raise your hands. Okay. Artificial control of the mind. The process is called, what is?
Pranayama.
Okay, what is the process? What is the process? Ashtanga Yoga. Right. The artificial control of the mind is Ashtanga Yoga. And pranayama is one branch of it. Meditation is one branch of it. Right? So process is Ashtanga Yoga. And the Brahma Jnanis, talking about Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, is not the ultimate goal. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma is actually Jnana Mishra. Not pure devotion. So, what is it in that transcendental state? In such a transcendental state, there is no need of artificial control of the mind. Artificial control of the mind. There is no need. There is no need for mental speculation. There's no need for mental speculation. Mental speculation means, what is the mental speculation? The mental speculation is jnana. The process of mental speculation is jnana. So there is no need for yoga practice, there is no need for jnana or meditation as performed by the jnanis and yogis, as performed by the jnanis and yogis. One gives up such processes as the... So this analogy is very wonderful. One gives up such processes as the heavenly king Indra forgoes the trouble to dig a well. Now isn't it strange? Indra, why is this analogy? Indra digging a well. Navadip, can you elaborate on that?
Indra is the control of rain.
Right.
So why he needs to dig a well?
Very good. Indra is the controller of rain. He is supplying the water throughout the universe. So why should he go to dig a well for his personal requirement of water? Digging a well, can you imagine? It's such a troublesome job. You dig a well. There may be water, there may not be water. If the water level is very low, then what will happen? And if you come across a rock, and then also if you dug the well, found the water, then what happens? Still then you have to pull the water with such a trouble. Now, it is a troublesome job to collect well, especially in the middle of desert. Those who are from Rajasthan, they know very well how difficult it is. Puneet, dekha hai? Kya dekha hai?
The water goes so down and we blast it and the oxygen, there is no water.
Even then there is no water. So, and that's Rajasthan is not so bad. If you go to Sahara Desert, you can keep on digging and digging and digging, there won't be any water. So the person who is the supplier of water, why should he dig a well? Now what is the relevance to this analogy? What is the relevance to that analogy? Ganga Narayan?
Performing devotional service. Gyan, bhakti, mukti already they suppress all these things. In Bhagavad Gita.
Very good. Because devotion, it's now, say now you consider what is the state of what's the situation of a devotee. It's literally pointing out that the situation of devotee is like the position of Indra in relation to water. And the process of karma, jnana and yoga is like digging the well to get a little water. So one, when one becomes a devotee and achieves his develops his loving relationship with Krishna, then there is no need for him to aspire separately for things like bhukti, mukti, siddhi. The yogi, the karmis, what do the karmis want? The karma yogi, let's put it this way, the karma kandis. And those who are performing the Vedic karma kanda rituals, what is their goal? What do they want? Bhukti. Bhukti means? Bhukti means sense gratification, enjoyment, materialistic enjoyment, bhukti. What do the gyanis want? Mukti. And what do the yogis want? Siddhi. So all these karmis and gyanis and yogis are aspiring for bhukti, mukti and siddhi. Now these endeavors for these kind of achievements is compared to a devotee, it is something like digging a well when you are actually not only the sitting on the reservoir of water, but you are supplying water to everybody. So that is how wonderful devotional service is. Who is saying it? Is some riffraff saying it? Lord Brahma himself is saying it. To whom he is saying that? Narad Muni. Did Narad Muni accept it? Huh? Are you more intelligent than Narad Muni? So do you accept it?
Yes.
Huh? So intelligent thing is to accept it. When Narad Muni accepted it, and when Brahma presented it, and Narad Muni is accepting it, why shouldn't we? Why should we hesitate? Now when Brahma is saying that, is Brahma exaggerating it, exaggerating the situation of devotion? Is Brahma falsely claiming something? No. This is the nature of devotional service. The devotional service is like this. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a shloka in relation to that. Javanartha udapane sarvato samputo dake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijaniya. Just as a big reservoir of water provides all the necessities of water. Javanartha udapane sarvato samputo dake. Udak means water. Now if you are in a big lake of water, will you have any shortage of water? Whether you want to drink or whether you want to irrigate the land, you can just take the water. Sarvato samputo dake. It's supplied by that water. And tavan sarveshu, similarly, all the needs, all the spiritual requirements are achieved just by recognizing Brahma. Brahmanasya vijaya. Brahmana means Krishna. Jasmin vigyate sarvamevam vigyatam bhavati. Knowing him, everything becomes known. Achieving him, yashmin prapte sarvamevam praptam bhavati. Achieving him, everything becomes achieved. And in this respect, there is a saying also that there is a beautiful saying. Let me see who said it. Anyway, let me just first remember it. That statement is one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotee actually mentioned that Kaivalya Narakayate Prakashan Prabodhananda Saraswati Kaivalya Narakayate liberation appears to be like going to hell. Kaivalya narakayate bidhi mahendra dhishna kitayate. The position of bidhi, bidhi means Brahma. Mahendra is Indra. And different demigods, the positions of so these exalted demigods, kitayati. Appears to be like the position of an insect. From our perspective, the position, the way we see an insect, from the pure devotional platform, the position of Brahma and Indra and all those living entities, all those personalities appear to be like the position of an insect. Then, what? Tridashapura akasha pushpayate. The heavenly planets appears to be like a pie in the sky. Akasha pushpayate. Akash kushum. Can there be any flower in the sky? Can there be a pie in the sky? No. It's only an imaginary concept. It is illusory. If it appears, sometimes it appears like there is a flower in the sky. You don't see it here so much. But if you go to Disneyland, they have these night shows, that fireworks. And there they have this laser creation. You see a fairy in the sky, the flowers falling from the sky, flower in the sky. They're not fireworks. They're there. They're laser. Laser beams creates that. Is it real? No. It is just illusory. Tridasha pura akasha pushpayat. Durdante indriya patali prakhata dangstra sharpayate. So this sharpayate, the uncontrollable senses, which were extremely dangerous, they appear to be like serpents with their fangs broken. If there is a snake whose fangs are broken, is it dangerous? No. That snake cannot do anything because it cannot bite. So, this is the result of Jat Karunna Katakha. His merciful, the merciful sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu causes that to happen. So that is how exalted is the situation of pure devotional service. Now, these are some poetic exaggeration. Is this some exaggeration? Or is it real? The truth? Why should Brahma lie? Brahma doesn't need to lie. And if Brahma was lying, then should Narad Muni accept it? If somebody is lying, will the intelligent person accept it? So this is the proof. Like, we have to see who is saying it and who is accepting it. The same thing Narad Muni told to Vyasdev. Now, was Narad Muni lying to Vyasdev? No. And did Vyasdev accept it? Now consider the intelligence of Vyasdev. Such a exalted personality, so intelligent, so powerful. So why should he accept something that is not true? And then ultimately we can go back to the source. Who gave this understanding to Brahma? Who gave this understanding to Brahma? Krishna himself. Now should we think that Krishna was lying? Or should you think that the whole concept is just imagined? There is no Bhagavan. There is no God. Everything happened. Everything is happening by chance. Life is a matter of chemical combination. 20 molecules of nitrogen combined with 34 molecules of oxygen, and life came. Is that a reality? No. Where did life come from? Where did life come from?
Life comes from life.
Life comes from life. Very good. Life comes from life. A living father and a living mother gives birth to a living child. Even a living monkey gives birth to a living father, mother, monkey give birth to a baby monkey. So this is how life comes from life. The seed of a tree, where does it come from? Did anyone see a seed of a tree coming from a laboratory? Where does the seed of the tree come from? Comes from the tree. The plant, a plant like wheat or soybean. Where did the soybean seed come from? From another soybean plant. Even if you go to the microbes, amoeba, protozoa, amoeba, how does one amoeba come from? From another amoeba, isn't it? So this is the proof that life comes from life. So, that is our understanding. And isn't it simple? If you tell somebody that you came from your father and mother, will he accept it? Naturally he'll accept it. He won't have any doubt about that. Oh yeah, that is your father, that's your mother. But if you go and tell somebody that you came out of chemicals, will anyone believe that? That some scientists put some chemicals in a test tube and you are born. Will any sane man believe that? No. So the intelligent thing is to accept the proper authoritative informations that have been presented by most exalted personalities that the universe has ever seen. Brahma, the controller of the universe. Narada, the most exalted personalities. So in this, and Vasudev, the one who actually compiled the entire Vedas. Not compiled, he actually copied and preserved the Vedas for this age. Can you imagine how intelligent he must have been? He was not copying from a book. He had everything in his mind, everything in his memory. And he just presented it. When he wanted to present Mahabharata, then he thought, who is going to write it? It's such a vast subject. So, he got hold of Ganesh, the best scribe, the celestial scribe. And Ganesh made a condition that, look, you have to tell me in such a speed that it can't stop. That means your narration has to be in conjunction with my speed of writing. And now mind you, how Ganesh was writing Do you know how Ganesh was writing? He took a palm leaf and he was writing. With one hand he was holding and the other hand he was writing. When it came to the end of it, just before that, he had two other hands waiting. So those two hands came with one leaf and with a pen and he was writing. So this is how he was writing with four hands. And Ganesh made a condition that you can't make me stop. You have to describe in such a speed. If you do, then I'll stop writing and go away. Then Vasudeva also laid a counter condition. He said, yes, fine, that's okay. But unless you understand what I'm saying, you should not write. So Ganesh agreed. So this is how it was going on. Vasudeva was just narrating. And Ganesh was writing. But then Vasudeva had to go for a bath and take lunch. So what to do? He has to stop. So he gave a verse which became difficult for Ganesh to understand. So Ganesh started to scratch his head. So in the meantime, Vasudeva said, okay, take your time. Think about it. And I will go and I'll come back soon. So that's why sometimes in Mahabharata there are certain verses which are very difficult to decipher. So that is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead made this wonderful arrangement of presenting this most wonderful spiritual knowledge through the Vedic scriptures, through the most exalted personalities. We can't even imagine how intellectually advanced these individuals were. And they're presenting, so why should we not accept it with full conviction? And those who accept, they become fortunate souls. And those who don't, they keep on traveling in this ocean of material nature, being constantly troubled and punished by the illusory energy of the Lord, created by Mahamaya. Hare Krishna, does anybody have any question? Yes.
Scientists claim that cloning, they are able to create some...
What is the meaning of cloning?
They take a cell, Guru Maharaj, and then they develop it in an artificial laboratory and mount it to a living being.
Is it? Find out what it actually means. That's the reason
I asked it.
That's the reason I just wanted to clarify it first. Cloning means making a similar, a prototype. A similar, say a lamb, you know, is a white lamb with a black patch in it. Right? So what they do, so this cloning is, they actually take the gene of one black sheep with the thing and put it in another sheep's embryo. And as a result of that, this gene influences the development of the body and it comes out in the same way. Same, like, it will be the same type. It's not that this cell is turning into a lamb. You get it? The lamb is there. The embryo or the, you know, the embryo of the lamb is there.
I was under the
impression. Or even, it may even go even beyond that. Probably the sperm of the lamb is there. And that is being affected by this gene. And as a result of that, the development is taking place according to the gene.
So there is nothing close to creating life.
Not at all.
It's only a manipulation of that.
It's just manipulation. You know, this is how they're bluffing. Prabhupada actually had a discussion with some scientists, and he exposed them, and it came out in the Back to Godhead as the scientist's bluff, and as an article, the scientist's bluff, and many people were offended, you know, by that. I mean, I came across somebody. Why you are blaming the scientists? You know, you're calling them, they're bluffing. Now this is how they're bluffing. And Prabhupada, I mean, anybody, any intelligent person can expose them. See, what their propaganda is, we created life.
Yes.
We took a cell.
Yes.
We took a... Now the thing is, even then we can come up with this argument. Where did you get the cell from? Where do you get the cell from? Did you create the cell in your laboratory? You got the cell from the living source.
Living source, yes.
Right.
Like a seed, we can say.
Like, yeah. But, yeah, so even if we accept your claim, but we have to say that you have taken it from a living source. So you didn't create life. But in reality, what they have done, like I remember when I was young, that time the test tube baby became a big thing. And they were actually making the same kind of claim. Oh, we created life in test tube. But the ovum was taken from the mother's womb and the sperm was taken from the father, and they just combined it in the test tube and then put it back into the womb of the mother.
Yes, for growth.
Right, for growth. And we created life. You know, this is how this... people are bluffing.
It is simple manipulation, actually.
Simple manipulation. What's the big deal? You know, like you took the gene of a lamb, and then they haven't been able to create another Einstein out of this cloning. Okay, create another Einstein, we will say, yes. But they're claiming, yes, we will do that. We'll make Einsteins. I mean, a genius like Einstein, they haven't been able to replicate it in a human being. Feature-wise, they have done with some animals, but not in the human being.
Even in that research, Rumani, what they are saying is that they have not been able to get the intelligence and get
right, exactly.
other things. They may
and
own a
right.
person, but they won't be able to get that
person. Get that in person. Just like consider, you know, the father... The son of the father, does he have the same kind of intelligence as the father? Can you claim?
No.
Anyway, so the reality is,
yes.
You got the answer?
Yes.
Okay. Any other question? Or? Okay.
Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All things.